the Freedom Circus, one family's death-defying act to escape the Nazis and start a new life in Australia. Written by Sue Smethurst and read by Harriet Gordon Anderson and Sam Smith. Warsaw, winter, 1936. Manya peels off a glove and rummages through her purse as she walks along Stavsky Street. Her fingers, nicked and numb from hours of working the erratic sewing machines, fumble clumsily around the bottom of her bag, trying to find her key. She turns the corner for home, but, distracted, doesn't see the edge of the loose cobblestone as it catches the heel of her shoe and tips her heavily into the gutter. Her petite frame crumples into a heap, and she sits dazed for a few moments, until she begins to compose herself. Tears come, but the icy wind whipping straight up from the Whistler steals them before she has time to wipe them away. "Damn," she says, fingering a hole in her threadbare woolen stockings, already repaired so many times that they are more darn than hose. Her ankle throbs. She can see her building, number 17 Muranovska Street, right across the square. Her landlord, Mr. Landau, will be tucked up warm and cozy in his first-floor apartment. In that moment, she longs for home and the warmth of her mother's kitchen. She imagines Mama at the table flouring and rolling challah dough, and the smell of coal scraps burning as the stove heats up to just the right temperature for the bread to rise. Lost in her thoughts, she doesn't see the stranger appear.
"What are you doing out here? It is not safe,"
the voice says, startling her back into reality.
"Are you okay?"
Her head has to tilt right back to catch the face of a tall man standing over her, his arm outstretched. Manya takes his hand, and he gently helps her up off the freezing stone.
"Let me escort you home,"
he insists. He pulls off his scarf and offers it to her. She gladly wraps the soft, warm wool around her neck, and they chat about the arrival of winter as she hobbles across the tram tracks. He asks where she works. Manya hesitates before saying simply, "The tannery." She doesn't mention that she has had to work there since she was old enough to leave school at the age of 14, or how hard the dirty, smelly work is, the long hours of curing and stretching animal skins, staining and dyeing them. The tannery is the main supplier of saddlery and leather goods to the Polish army. With the constant threat of war, business is booming. The more she walks, the more the ankle settles, and with each step she feels her strength return. The soft light from Mr. Landau's apartment allows a proper glimpse of the stranger's face. He is surprisingly young for someone so well-dressed, possibly in his mid-twenties. A red silk kerchief pokes out of his top pocket. His suit gives the impression of a much older businessman, but his big blue eyes sparkle like a mischievous child's.
"My name is Caboose Horowitz,"
he says as they reach the doorway.
"And you are?"
"Manya. Manya Levin," she says, bowing her head.
"So, Miss Levin, you are home safe."
"Thank you, Caboose. You are very kind." She hands back his scarf, and with that he tips his hat and walks away, gone almost as quickly as he arrived.
"You're late, Manya," Hannah says, raising an eyebrow. "Hurry up and sit down."
"Sorry, Mama," Manya replies, tucking her dress over the hole in her hose. All eyes turn to the teenager as she clumsily squeezes in between her sisters Jadzia and Sonia to take her place at the table. She keeps her head down to avoid her father's stare, her stained fingers tracing invisible rings around the dark wood knots poking through her mother's thinning white tablecloth. She is seated on the long wooden bench along one side of the table and can almost hear the old pine slab groaning under the weight of them all. Since her sister Eva's husband, Laloche, moved in, 11 now jostle for elbow room around Hannah Levin's kitchen table. Manya's eyes follow her mother as she passes the baby on her hip to Eva. Her hair, graying prematurely, is swept back in a neat bun, allowing the candlelight to fully illuminate her face. Not for the first time,
Manya notices the sickly dark circles under her mother's eyes and silently vows never to be late for dinner again.